Hello, and welcome to Stronger Together,
a podcast about strength, wellness, and navigating the hard things.
I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're yoga and mindfulness instructors who know that the path to wellness isn't easy.
And it's even harder without community.
We're here to offer real conversations,
raw and honest moments,
and to remind you that you're never alone.
So make yourself comfy.
And let's do it.
Because we are all stronger together. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. So whenever Charlotte and I poll the Stronger Together community and we ask you, what do you want to hear more of? People always tell us they want to hear us talking about grief. So we're going to go there today and we're going to talk about why it's important to choose sadness. But before we get started, let's take a deep breath together. Hi, Char.
Hello, Les.
How are you doing today?
In this moment, in this day, I'm good, but the past week has been very emotional.
Yeah, you've been in it.
Mm-hmm. And you've been by my side, which has been so helpful.
Of course, always.
But I wanted to talk about, you know, something in particular about grief.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of like feeling the emotion of sadness,
yeah,
and like letting it in and choosing to feel it.
Mm.
I think this topic is really interesting because for so long we've been told to be happy, choose mm-hmm. happy, you know, show up and how are you? I'm good. How are you? I'm good. And there's that abandonment of the quote unquote negative emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know when it comes to grief, those negative emotions are present and they come up pretty much when you least expect it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when you do expect it. But really what drove me to want to talk about this was, you know, at this day, it's what, May 8th.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of in the midpoint between my mom's birthday and Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even realize the importance of the date until I was kind of just like, okay, let me think about this episode. But I thought that I was just feeling these negative emotions because I'm wedding planning right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to wedding planning, there's such an emphasis on the mother of the bride and the role that she has in the day and her dress shopping and her zipping your dress up or buttoning your dress up on the morning of the wedding. And there's just so much that I know I'm not going to get to experience. And it really hurts sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that you had like a moment where it kind of came crashing in. And before you tell that, I just wanted to say that we've talked about this in previous episodes, but we have a lot of new listeners to the podcast. So we've talked about grief that does not come from death. And I know mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of people listening right now who may happen to have a mother here still in the physical world, but are still grieving a relationship with her or don't have a great relationship with her, or perhaps, you know, is wedding planning right now and their mother is not available to help them or is choosing not to help them. So I think that this whole idea of like deeply missing a parental role at an important time of your life can resonate with so many people in different ways.
Definitely. And it's really eye-opening that I'm going through this and sharing it publicly because I've had so many people message me directly or TikTok just telling me that, you know, I'm not experiencing the same exact loss of my mom, but one person said her mom chose not to be active, mm-hmm. You know, an active participant in the wedding, and other people messaging me saying that, you know, their mom is sick right now and can't be there. She's still alive, but, you know, she's sick. So there are, like you just said, so many applications of these emotions to different scenarios and different situations.
Yeah. And the thing about life in general is somebody could be listening to this right now and be like, oh, this isn't really resonating with me. Like, I have a great relationship with my parents. Like, you know, they're really here for me. They're both here still in the physical world. You know, life changes. And, you know, mm-hmm. and like all of a sudden you think something that doesn't apply to you. And then all of a sudden something can happen and be like, oh, wait, like I feel this now because of this, whether it's like, you know, whether it's from a loss or just an experience that happened that changed a relationship. So yeah. I think kind of like diving a little deeply into this sadness, into the lessons that you learned, and applying this to just life in general, about how important it is to honor sadness and to choose it, and to even learn what that means, to let that sadness in and not succumb to the programming of don't be sad and don't cry. And I know we've talked about that in the podcast too. It's like making sure that we give space to all of those emotions. And like, I really feel like I want to say, like, let the sadness breathe.
Yeah.
Right. Like, let it in, let it breathe, get uncomfortable with it, and allow it to, you know, to feel whatever it feels like, to allow that, those feelings to be present.
Definitely. And I think that we all have experienced some sort of release when it comes to quote unquote negative emotions, whether it's sadness or anger, when we're going through a situation and we finally have like one of our mental breakdowns, or we have a hard conversation that leads to crying. That feeling at the end of the conversation, or when that emotion has passed through, is such a feeling of levity. But we've all experienced some sort of release and the feeling of lightness that comes after it. We always hear that phrase. It's like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders. Right. And that's the feeling that just comes with allowing ourselves to feel.
I have a friend who says to me, you need a good cry. Mm-hmm. Like, let yourself have it, you know? And I know she's saying that because of what it feels like after, and the importance of being in that emotion and feeling those feelings.
Definitely. So the kind of straw that broke the sadness's back happened the other day when I picked up my wedding dress from getting altered, my first alteration, and I tried it on at home alone, and it wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And so I immediately texted Les all these pictures of, you know, what wasn't right about it. And Leslie went into mom mode. She went into like bridesmaid's best friend's mom mode. And it was just like, oh no, we're going to make this right for you. And she completely just had my back and made me feel like I was so supported through this little hiccup of wedding planning. Mm-hmm. And the feeling that was unlocked when I was reading her messages was just this like mothering feeling. And as soon as I'm reading her messages, I'm texting her back, and the tears just came right out. They just flowed. Mm. And they're even kind of flowing right now. And you might hear a bird. But they couldn't be stopped. There is such intense emotion that came with this realization of, oh my God, this feeling of being a daughter, I haven't felt it for 13 years. Yeah. And you gave me an opportunity to feel it for a moment. Mm. And so we talked in the last episode about how sometimes we look ourselves in the face in the mirror and we address ourselves by name. And that's exactly what I did in that moment. I went to the mirror, I looked at myself in the eyes, and I was like, Charlotte, like, this is a really hard moment. Mm-hmm. This is hard. Like, it's sad. You don't have your mom here. And so I continued to talk to you, and I continued to send you videos. And I didn't wait until I was done crying to send you videos. I literally let myself just be the bride, be the friend, be the daughter in that moment. And it's funny too, because I think of you as a mom in a couple different ways. Like, you are so many different roles to me. Best friend, you know, coworker, yoke teacher. And then you also have this mothering presence, and there is a connection that I feel between you and my mom because, you know, my mom's sister, my aunt.
Yeah.
And so like, I feel like you just know my mom by proxy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes me feel really supported to have you here and to have you take that role of like, no, we're doing this for you. We're going to get your dress perfect, and to just be there while I'm a mess.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, it was a hard moment to realize that this is what I'm feeling. This is an emotion that I'm missing, and it's going to continue to come up as I'm wedding planning. I know it. So I allowed myself to feel the sadness, and I know I didn't release it completely. Like, I know that there's probably a volcano that's going to erupt in these next 4 months of just all of the sadness, all of the moments that I'm going to grieve, you know, I'm grieving the fact that I'm not having my mom for my wedding. And that's a big thing, you know, when you're a young kid, you always think that your mom will be there. But
you also like, you allowed all of that to like be witnessed by me. And I think for like, that's such an important part of this grief process is like letting me know, like not only sending me the videos like while you were crying, right? But like letting me know exactly what you noticed in that moment and like being witnessed and like you recognize in that moment this loss that you didn't know that you were feeling. But I don't know if you remember in the moments, but I said something to you. I was like, no more doing wedding stuff by yourself.
Yep. That felt like a hug.
That's over, right? Like that's over because you're not alone and you don't have to do this. Like you and like so many of women in our lives and so many people listening, we feel like we have to just soldier on and keep going. And I got this and I can do it and I'm strong. And I think sometimes the biggest sign of strength is embracing vulnerability and asking for help.
Definitely.
And sometimes you don't even know what you need to ask for, right? Like that's something that I've been putting into my vocabulary lately when I offer support to friends who are going through it. Cause I have some friends who are going through it right now. Like, and what I've been saying to them is when you even know what you need, let me know how I can support you. Cause there's this recognition of like, you might not even know what you need yet.
Yeah.
How do you ask for it? I remember feeling that when my dad passed, I was like, I don't know what to ask for. Yeah. Everybody's like, what do you need? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm here. Somebody, if you need me.
Somebody tell me what I need. I don't know what I need. Yeah. I am devastated, right? Yeah. So that was something that I was able to just kind of offer to you. And whether that's, you know, my mama bear energy, my Cancerian, I'm a Cancer, I can't help it, right? Like, but like that, like, no, you are not alone. So you don't do things alone anymore because you have a support system. And that's like a huge part of our wellness is like finding the people in our lives that can support us when we're going through it.
Definitely. And I almost wonder if I know fellow motherless daughters can agree with this. There's this growing up that you do when you lose a mom, as a woman. And it's kind of hard to even explain, but there's this strength that you take on, this resilience that you take on. And I almost wonder if me going to my dress fitting by myself, if me ordering my dress online to try on virtually in front of my sisters, like, I almost wonder if that is the same type of energy of like, I'm strong enough to do this by myself.
Right.
And I'm sure there's a connection. There
I
must
agree.
Be.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like when somebody tells you like, you don't have to do this. You don't have to be strong right now. You don't have to be doing this. You are worthy of support and love and honoring of what's happening. And I think that sometimes you need somebody, whether it's you listening to the podcast right now, you're hearing these words and you're like, oh my God, I've been doing that. Like I need to lean on people, or you have somebody in your life who can just tell you, you know?
Yeah.
And that can feel that being on the receiving end of that, depending on who says it or where you are in your own healing path, like that can feel a little icky, right? Like, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Right? You know, but it's like, no. I think that sometimes there are people who know you and love you who in the moment can see things a little bit better, you know, because what's the expression? You can't see how big the mountain is when you're staring at it, when you're standing on it. So it's like somebody who's watching you climb that mountain, they see how big it is. And they're like, no, you can't do this on your own.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to.
Yeah. And from that mama bear energy that you gave me, no more doing wedding stuff on your own. We have since made an appointment to go to the city. Leslie's taking off work for me, you guys. She's taking off work for me. We're going to go to the city and meet up with my sisters and try on a different dress. Like we're going to get that experience that I didn't think that I needed.
Right.
And I'm, you know, I'm sure that there's going to be some sadness that comes along with, okay, my mom's not here. But also in recognizing that, there's the opportunity to be like, well, I've got two sisters and one of my best friends by my side. And that is such a win.
Yeah.
So there's always two sides to a coin.
Of course.
And so that was on Thursday. So Thursday, right before Leslie's yoga class, I'm having this mental breakdown and she's holding space for me. Meanwhile, she has to teach a yoga class and she didn't have such an easy day either. So,
oh, I'm get in it too. That's a conversation. That's an episode for another day.
Yes, that one needs an entire dedicated episode. but later on that evening, I went and I took your class, and there's a really great metaphor that I'm just realizing, you know, you're telling me I can lean on you. I can lean on you. Well, I don't know, if you even recognize the moment, but you gave me this really lovely assist in, I think it was the early on in the practice when we were sitting up tall and you came up behind me and you rolled my shoulders back and I literally just gave you all my weight.
Mm-hmm.
I leaned on you.
Yeah.
And it was really easy for me to do. And I felt so supported. I always feel supported by your assists, but this one was different.
Yeah.
And this one was because I was cracked wide open to you earlier.
Yeah.
You know, like there is no hiding. There is no armoring when I'm with you, especially after having like a raw emotional moment and knowing that I'm supported by you. So it was a really beautiful metaphorical moment of me realizing how supported I actually am by you.
Char.
Yeah.
I think that what's so important about this conversation is, like, so you're crying in class. I actually started crying while I was teaching. At one point I looked at the room and it was packed with like such incredible people. And there was this moment where I, like, people were just like in mountain pose and like so strong. And I was like, oh my God, they were like radiating strength. And I just cracked. And the reason why we want to talk about this is because this, the process of grief and loss and longing, it's messy.
Yep.
It's messy and it's not fun, but it's so important because the people that you think are like the strong people and they can do everything, like they're in it. Like everyone is in it at some point in their lives. Mm-hmm. Right. So the way I look at it, it's like, if you're in it, allow yourself to be in it.
Yeah.
And if you're not, and you can offer support to people, or maybe you're like me and you're in it and you're offering support.
That's some superhuman stuff.
But I think that there's just this reciprocity that happens in my relationships now because my social and spiritual health is so strong.
Yeah.
I know that I can be in it and offer support, receive support and offer it at the same time. It wasn't always like that, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't, because I would feel super depleted.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was so important that we bring this to the podcast. One, because people really resonate with the grief conversations, but two, whatever you may be grieving right now, maybe, you know, your kid is moving out of the house, or you're grieving the loss of somebody who's passed away, or really the dissolution of a relationship. Please, like, give yourself permission. Let it be messy.
Yeah.
Let yourself be witness. Ask for help. Cry it out. You know, come to my yoga class and fall apart.
Yeah.
Always welcome. Yeah. And I know we've talked about suffering in silence in episodes in the past, but I think this is the opposite of that, right? And it's like, not like you're burdening other people with your suffering and your grief, but you're just like, I don't know, allowing there to be like this coexisting of like, you know, I'm on this path to healing, but it involves and it encompasses my grief.
Yeah.
Definitely. Whatever that is. Like, I don't know about, like, I can think about, you know, like a friend, maybe you have like a friend who you don't talk to anymore, or like a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And then all of a sudden they'll like pop into your mind and you'll feel that sadness again. Mm-hmm. Right. It's like you're living with grief. I think when my experience right now is like, year one was processing grief and like, what the hell is going on? And then year two and beyond is like walking with grief. Like, what does it mean to live a full life and still be grieving?
Mm-hmm. Like holding its hand, welcoming it along on your journey.
Yeah. Like allowing that sadness to really be, important to you.
Yeah.
Right? Like that cue that your body's giving you and listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important.
Yeah. Because if we don't listen to it, it just gets stuck. It gets stuck and it builds like pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it's going to come out. And sometimes it comes out in the worst possible times.
Yeah.
And then it comes out 10 times more intense than it would have if you just felt it in the moment.
Mm-hmm. How else do you like to honor sadness? Do you like to journal? Do you prefer to talk it out? Like, yeah. I mean, I love to go to therapy when I'm starting to feel it. I'm like, oh, it's time to book a therapy session. I'm feeling it, you know?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I love talking about it too. Journaling is helpful because, like you said, grief is messy, and yeah. So can your journal be. Like, yeah. You can just write in bold, write in lowercase. Like, that can be a representation of what you're feeling. Mm. That's why I love art. I love, you know, creative outlets for emotion. Mm. But yeah, talking it out for me with people that I really, really love and trust deeply is one of my favorite ways. Like, yeah. You, my sisters, my other best friend, Julie, and mm-hmm. Russ, like, you guys are my like support team. And mm-hmm. I know that if I'm just with one of you, I can just let it all out, mm-hmm. and be held and you know, kind of be walked through the process after being witnessed.
Right, right. I think for me to add on to that list, it would be movement. Mm. Because I know what that sadness feels like. It's like physically painful.
Yeah.
I feel like it's almost as like I feel it getting stuck in my muscles and the tissues and the fibers. And so whatever the movement looks like, you know, whether it's walking or taking a yoga class or lifting heavy weights, whatever that is, it's like kind of allowing that stagnation to move through.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah, you've probably, if you're listening to this now, have heard either us talk about, or you've probably heard in the wellness world, the term emotional release. Mm. And a lot of times it happens on a yoga mat during a yoga class where you'll be moving and all of a sudden you're just crying, your tears are flowing. And I know some people that happens lifting heavy weights, some people that happens on a walk, some people that happens when you're dancing and really listening to a song that, like, you know, elicits those emotions. But allowing our bodies to be a vehicle for movement of energy is one of the coolest superpowers that we have.
Yeah, I agree. It's so funny because somebody was talking to me about this, like carving out time for sadness, mm-hmm. and like almost like scheduling it.
Yeah.
And whatever that looks like for you, like putting on a sad song or putting on like a sad movie and like giving yourself that time. And there's a show that was released recently on Apple TV called, I think it's called Shrinking. And it was part of that show. And it was like one, and they're shrinks. They're psychotherapists.
Uh-huh.
And one of the techniques that he taught his patients that he was actually using for himself, the therapist, was setting a 15-minute timer. And being in it and honoring the sadness and crying and doing whatever you need to do for that 15 minutes. And then the timer goes off. You see how you feel, do a little body scan, do a little check, and go about your day.
I love that. I really love that. Because that is summoning the sadness. You know, like that is choosing the sadness because you're choosing, okay, I'm going to let this stuff out. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to let it move through me. And then I'm going to go about my day.
Yeah. Full disclosure, raw and honest transparency. I'm like a little afraid to do it. Yeah, because I'm like a little, I don't know. I'm just like a little afraid. I'm like, I haven't tried it yet. I've gotten close.
Yeah.
Just like literally setting a timer and being like, I'm going to be in it and be sad and like carve out my time to be sad, schedule it, just like I would schedule, you know, something else for my wellness. And then for some reason, I'm like, maybe next time, right?
So I think that it's vulnerable to even try that because what happens if you can't let those emotions come forth, you know? Like, what if they're not ready to come forth?
What if they're not ready? Or what if 15 minutes turned into like 15 hours?
It's so true. Because, I mean, we have the expectation, okay, for 15 minutes, I'm going to be sad. But what happens if that just doesn't, you know, it's not how we planned it.
Yeah.
So I love that technique and that tactic. I think for me, it works the best when I'm already, you know, starting to feel the sadness. And good thing I work for myself because I always have 15 minutes, like in that moment. Well, usually, but
not always.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a powerful thing. I've heard that used with anxiety too. Like if you're anxious about something, okay, you're ruminating on it. Okay, set the timer, 15 minutes. Think about all the worst case scenarios that you can think about and then let them go.
Wow.
That's it.
Timer off, move on, see how that works. Exactly. I love it because what I love about this is it feels messy. So it's like, I love it. Like, let's like bring it in, be in the mess, stop trying. Like as humans, as women in particular, we do have this pressure to prefer perfectionism.
Yeah.
Right. So this is allowing it to not like, like, I will be perfect at grieving. No, no. I will be the perfectly sad person. No, it has to be messy.
Yeah.
Let it be ugly, whatever that is. And, you know, we've talked in previous episodes about, like, being mindful of our own feelings and not, I can't remember the title of the episode right now, and I'm going to have to go in. But, like, not, like, making sure that we ask for people.
Yeah, like not dumping on them.
Not dumping, exactly. Mm-hmm. Not dumping on them. Like, asking for people, like, I need somebody to listen. Do you have some time and space to listen? I think mm-hmm. that's so important mm-hmm. because we don't know what other people are going through.
Yeah.
We don't want to be that person who feels like they're always dumping their crap.
Yeah.
In an unmindful way, like, right. Like with a lack of mindfulness, because I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you, but because I know that you and I are both like really empathic, like,
yeah.
If somebody puts their stuff on me, it can leave me feeling really woof out of it.
Yeah.
So it's like, if somebody dumps on me right before I have to teach a yoga class, like that's yeah. hard. Yeah. Right. But it's mm-hmm. like with you, you weren't dumping. I was like, it wasn't like that. You didn't even know what was happening.
Yeah.
You literally went from being like so happy because you just picked up your wedding dress.
Yep.
Like, Russ, get out so I can find this
yeah.
on.
Yep.
Right. To like, oh my God, what is happening? My dress doesn't fit. I hate the dress. I bought the wrong dress. Oh my God, I really miss my mother.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And this was all came like unexpectedly crashing down. So this, that wasn't like a dumping. That was like me helping you unpack it while it was happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think all of that is just a really important part of being like a socially and emotionally regulated person.
Yeah.
Right. Is like honoring these emotions, being aware of how our emotions impact others, asking to be witnessed. Mm-hmm. And doesn't have to be in person, right? Like mm-hmm. we've said this before, and I just want to repeat this, like Charlotte and I, like we created this community to be witnesses for the listeners. So like yeah. in our DMs, in our, emails, like some of you have already done it. Like you're just emailing us just to be witnessed. You don't even really have anything you want us to say
yeah.
other than just like sharing an experience and allowing yourself to be witnessed by us. Mm-hmm. So if you feel like you don't have people in your life just quite yet who can be that for you, we can be that for you.
Yeah, we would love to be that for you.
Yeah. So how are you feeling now? I know it's not over for you. Mother's Day is mm-hmm. in a few days.
Mm-hmm. Well, in this moment, I feel lighter, and it's interesting. I think listening back to this episode when I edit it, I'm going to feel the same way, but I feel like I blabbered in the beginning because I was nervous and because my heart rate was elevated and I was feeling that those uncomfortable emotions, yeah. you know, even talking about them, I think I was talking a little bit fast. But talking through it made me release it. And now I feel that little sense of lightness.
Yeah. Just like coming back into your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we spend so much time in our heads but I feel good in this moment, you know, leading up to Mother's Day on my mom's birthday, which was May 1st. I went over to my dad's house and I went on the rowboat by myself in the pond where her ashes are spread. And I just kind of, I sang happy birthday to her by myself.
I love that.
Out in the pond. So it's that committed action that really helps me move and summon the sadness. But I have no plans for Mother's Day so far. We'll see what happens. We'll see yeah. how we feel. But if I feel any inkling of sadness, I'm going to let it flow.
Yeah, that's it.
And I do have a question for anybody listening to, like, if you have planned a wedding, and you are grieving somebody, whether it's a parent or a friend or whoever, did you do anything in preparation for your wedding to prioritize the joy on your day? Because I almost feel like I want to have a session with just my bridesmaids to like let all of the sadness go before the ceremony. So like that can be done. So I'm just wondering if anybody has any experience with moving through grief during a really big monumental time in your life.
Yeah. I think that's great. I would think it's great to hear what people have to say. I'm sure people will have a lot of different things. And I know for me, like my wedding was an emotional roller coaster anyway.
Was right. It?
So yeah, I like literally like, I was like, I cried so much at my wedding, like yeah. so much. I was like exhausted that night, and you know, and it's like, it's just, it's like an overwhelm. It's like, like, it's, you can't say that I wasn't crying because of sadness. Yeah, of course they were super happy tears, but there's also like this overwhelming feeling of kind of like what you said, like leaning into the support of others.
Yeah.
So I know that will be part of your day, mm-hmm. because you will be so supported by mm-hmm. the people physically at your wedding, the people who are, you know, in the different, in the spiritual realm, and even like everyone like listening and everyone at the yoga studio and the gym. And so many people love you and Russ. And something that I tell my students is like, you are loved by somebody more than you could ever imagine.
Mm.
And all of us are, and some of us are loved by somebody who's no longer here in the physical world, right? But there is so much love for us to give to each other. And I think we just have to continue to do more of that and remember that.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of holding space or like having like a sadness time or whatever it is that you want to do. But I think as joyous as your wedding is going to be, and I have no doubt it's going to be a wildly joyous experience, we're all going to have little emotions, like little like moments of feeling like, you know, it's just part of it. I think anything where emotions are really high, you feel that roller coaster. That's why brides are like bridezillas.
Yeah, it's
because
true.
That's like, I mean, there's that control aspect of it, right? But why do we try to control everything? Because we're anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Why oftentimes mm-hmm. are we anxious? Well, because there's unknown, but also it's because our emotions are all tangled and intermingled and we just don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that you have already worked to identify emotions, feel emotions, be witnessed, like talk this out. You know, you were vocal about this on TikTok. Now we're bringing it to the podcast. I think mm-hmm. so much of that is the work leading up to the wedding.
Yeah, you're right.
Or whatever monumental event, like one of our listeners might be going to. I know it's graduation season and mm-hmm. it's communion, confirmation. Like there's so many big events happening in the months of May, June, and kind of through the summer. I'm sure that this conversation is resonating with a lot of people on a lot of different levels.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you all for listening. I mean,
thank you
for holding
sharing
space.
Your story.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I think that this is the, you know, season 4 storytelling, vulnerability, raw vibes.
Yep. That's it.
We're here for it.
We are. All right, everybody. Well, surrender to the sadness, invite the sadness in, choose the sadness and see what happens after that.
I love it. And if you have any other things that you do in your life to honor your sadness, to help it move through, let us know. Send us a DM. We'll put a little question box on the, if you're listening on Spotify, there's a feature now where you can respond to a question.
Mm-hmm.
So we will put that there. We would love to hear from you. And thank you. Thank you for being part of this community. We love you.
We love you guys. Bye.
Take care. We hope you loved that episode of Stronger Together.
And if you did, can you please share it with your friends and your family and your neighbors?
Yes, help us get this out there so that we can connect with more people.
And guess what? Spotify allows you to rate now. So if you're listening on Spotify, can you please rate for us? And Apple Podcasts lets you review. So review.
5 stars on Spotify and tell us what you love about the podcast. We are so happy that you're part of this community.
We love you.